T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, what is going on? Mark Owens, thanks for checking out the 10-Minute Tailgate Tour. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you're having a great week. I am thankful for a Big Dogs victory over Georgia Tech on Saturday. I'm thankful that I have good friends who called me literally on Friday night and said, what are you doing for the Tech game? I said, I don't know, probably just watching it at the house with my girls. Why don't you come to the Tech game with me? Free tickets. All right, let's go. So, Derek, shout out, buddy. Thank you, man. So we popped out there on Saturday morning. Found a great, you know, if there's anything I'm jealous about when it comes to being a Georgia Tech fan, I am jealous of the location. We live in the mean streets of Smyrna. It took us, and we had to go pick up the tickets too, down off Ponce. So we went down there, picked up the tickets, and still made it. We left at 9 o'clock, 9 a.m., noon kickoff. We left at 9, got down downtown, I mean straight downtown, off Ponce, got the tickets, still made it back to Georgia Tech's campus. And was parking, had our cold beer in our hand before 10 o'clock. That is one thing I'm very jealous of about Georgia Tech. It's location. Easy to get to. Plenty of parking available. Cheap parking available. There's no big-ass hill like at Baxter and Millage that you have to walk up to get to and from the stadium where we normally park. And we found there's a cool little parking deck. It's, I don't know the campus well enough. It's kind of over by the backside of the campus. But cool parking deck, $25 to park. We went to the very top, great view, and just hung out and had to, and it wasn't as chirpy. That was one thing I noticed from the Tech game this year. And it was easily 60-40, 65-35, Georgia to Georgia Tech. But walking to the game, not a whole lot of barking, pun intended, from Georgia fans. Not a whole lot of to hell with Georgia from the Tech fans. I think Georgia fans are very confident. And again, this may have just been our location. There was a good scene, a lot of partying going on, walking by the frat houses. There were bands playing and people drinking. And, you know, it was a sold-out crowd. But it just, there wasn't that air of, there's a chance that there could be a big fight. Never really felt it. And that might have something to do with the early kickoff time, too, because both groups, and I'm not just talking Georgia, but both groups didn't have time to get super inebriated, as those early kickoffs will do it to you. But it was fun. I will say there was one drunk fan. After the game was over, we left, and heading back to the car, I don't know, 4 or 5 Tech fans walk in. They're probably all in their mid-20s. The guy either just graduated or maybe a senior at Tech. Hey, F you, Georgia. F you. And we all kind of turned around and stared at him, and his girlfriend was like, stop it. Stop. Hey, view dogs. But that was it. The whole day, that was it. Perfect weather. Really nice weather for the game. And the other thing I'm jealous about, I love Sanford Stadium, but our seats were at the very, very top. You could not get any higher. We were facing the video board, and we had an amazing view of downtown Atlanta. So the location, the cheap tickets that are always available, and the view. I will admit I'm jealous of those three. I wouldn't trade it for Sanford Stadium in a night in Athens any day. But that's why I don't mind going to a Tech game every now and then, because we left the game when we were back home. We left the game when the clock hit zero, walked back to the car, had a cold beer, a post-game celebratory beer, which you're supposed to do, and we were back home within like 30 minutes. More importantly, Dogs get the win. A little bit of a slow start, and they came out strong. Georgia dominated 23 first downs to Georgia Tech's 12. Georgia had 224 passing yards to Tech's 38. Third down conversions, Georgia went 6 for 9. Georgia Tech went 8 for 15. How about Jake Fromm? 12 for 16, no interceptions. As of today, I'm taping this Tuesday morning. It's been 6,576 days since Georgia Tech beat Georgia at Bobby Dodd. And here's something else very interesting. The Tech fans are just, they just hate Georgia so much. You can't even put a fact in their face. You can't even tell factual information without Tech fans getting all up in their feelings. As soon as the game was over, let's flash back to 2016, when Tech beat Georgia in Athens. What did they do? Oh my God, they won the national championship. Destroyed the Hedges. Took pictures, you know, Hedges in their mouth. Danced all over the Circle G. And we were there, we saw all this. Chirping at the Georgia fans leaving the stadium, football players. And of course, Georgia fans are going to chirp back, but, you know, players sitting there, FU, dogs. That was 2016. 2017, dominating victory for the Georgia Bulldogs. What do the Bulldogs do? High five, shake hands, take a couple of pictures. You even saw some of the Georgia players and Georgia Tech players shaking hands with each other. Jake Fromm led both teams in a prayer. Left the game. Let's go get ready for the SEC championship. A very contrasting situations on how each team handled their victory. So I put that out on Twitter soon after the game. 2016, Jackets destroy Hedges, dance on the field, chirp at the players. 2017, Georgia shakes hands, takes pictures, gets ready for the next game. But remember, Georgia has no class. That was it. Of course that's a dig at Tech. Come on now, I'm a Georgia fan. But Tech fans got so up in their feelings because for the past year, all I've heard is, we run this state. Yeah, but you've won two of the last three and three of the last 15. Duh, history doesn't matter. More importantly, we have run this state. Okay, well, history doesn't matter. Guess what? Georgia won. Here's how you acted in 2016. Here's how Georgia acted in 2017. Yeah, but in the past, you guys have destroyed our field too. Whoa. You just told me that history doesn't matter because you run this state. So I'm comparing the two most recent games. Oh, well, that's history. Well, yes. But you're telling me you run this state. Okay, well, here's a yeah, but. Oh, my God. If I got one more yeah, but from a Tech fan who just a week ago was reminding me that history doesn't matter. Yeah, but history. Well, I thought history doesn't matter. It's an emotional group. But that's all right. Hey, guys, have fun at your bowl game. Oh, wait. I'm not going to a bowl game. And I do think that is the way that Georgia responded after the win, is a 100% culture change in Athens. Kirby Smart is not the coach that says, get out there and dance and celebrate. You know what? We won. That's what we're supposed to do. We shouldn't be shocked or surprised that Georgia won that game. Georgia was supposed to win that game, and they went out there and they won that game. Good job. Rest up. Get ready for the next game. Speaking of the next game, how about that Iron Bowl? Alabama did not look, probably the worst game they played all season. Auburn looked great. At first, when I said when Auburn played Georgia, the best game that Auburn played all season. Georgia had the worst game they played all season. I don't know. Auburn may be legit because you take, who was it, ULL, Louisiana Lafayette. I think that was Louisiana Monroe. I don't know. It was a smaller team in between Georgia and the Iron Bowl. You take those two teams, those two games, Georgia and then the Iron Bowl, Auburn looks legit. It's going to be a great SEC championship. I'm happy. I would rather play Auburn because we have the opportunity for a do-over. We can learn from our mistakes. And there's a couple of factors that I think also play into Georgia's favor going into Saturday's game. Number one, Auburn does not have the home field advantage. Now, neither does Georgia. Some people say, well, it's played at Mercedes-Benz. That's pretty much a Georgia home game. No. I mean, Georgia's still got to travel an hour and a half to get here. Auburn's still got to travel, what is it, an hour and a half, 2 hours to get here, maybe further. So it's not exactly a home game for Georgia, and it is still split right down the middle. But we do have the factor of, hey, Georgia will have more fans in that stadium on Saturday than we had at Jordan-Hare November the 11th. The other factor is tape. We now have tape. Two dominating games that Auburn played, and they can watch and they can learn. See, after the game, after Auburn won the Iron Bowl, the fans rushed the field. Auburn got fined $250,000 for allowing fans to rush the field. Look, I can't blame them. I mean, some people said, oh, nice job, Auburn. Good job. What a waste of money. You can't stop the fans from coming on the field. Well, yeah. No, you can't. Because what is it, that CSC security, the people in the yellow jackets on the sideline? Okay, you're going to try and have an $8 an hour employee, you know, a guy who just needs a part-time job for the weekend, and he probably got paid, you know, a couple $100 for all-day work. You want him to try to stop rushing 80,000 drunk fans jumping out of the stands? No way. I don't blame him. If that happened to me, you know what I'd do if I was that security guard? I'd take my jacket off and I'd stand against the wall and say, you do not pay me enough to try to tackle these drunk frat boys. I just hope they take that $250,000. I just kind of actually hope they take it out of their travel budget. Maybe have to leave a couple extra players at home. Maybe leave some of their equipment at home. They can't afford to. I know they can't. Early line for the SEC championship gives Auburn a 3-point favorite. Remember, Georgia went into Auburn as a 2-point favorite. Tickets are steep. I was following this on StubHub during the Iron Bowl when it was Georgia and unknown getting into the upper decks would cost you about $400. Cheapest ticket you could find. Immediately after Auburn won, ticket price jumped to $500. Now it's settled around $450, $475. It'll be fun to watch over the week. Hey, let's compare some of the Power 5 championship games. Pac-12 championship game, USC and Stanford, $28 to get in. These are cheapest seats. Big Ten championship game, Wisconsin and Ohio State, $80 to get you in. ACC, Miami and Clemson, John Michaels will be there, $91 to get in. By the way, did you notice Miami when they got beat on Friday? Was it Friday? God, it feels like it was a month ago. By Pitt, halfway through the game, not even halfway through the game, I mean, early in the second quarter, one of the guys on the sidelines, I guess one of the strength and conditioning coaches or defensive coordinators, takes a turnover chain, throws it into one of the trunks, slams it shut. Didn't see that turnover chain much longer. $91 to go to the ACC championship. Big 12, Oklahoma and TCU. To get you in, $118. So the most expensive game is $118. To get into a Georgia game, Georgia-Auburn, $450 to $500. Let's do the math real quick on that. I'm doing this live. I'm not going to edit this. $118 plus 91. This is why I'm not a math major. Plus 80 plus 28. All right, so I did the combined price. Wow! The combined total for four of the five championship games, $317. One game, the SEC championship, $450. Jeez Louise. Continue to tell me how the SEC is not relevant. Continue to tell you the SEC is not most popular conference. They maybe have down years. There may be years where ACC is better, more dominant. There may be years where Big 12 has better teams. But when it comes down to it, money, when it comes to the money teams and the money conference, there is no argument. You cannot argue SEC is not the most powerful in all of college football. Hell, talk to any Northerner that comes down here like, man, on Saturday, you got them damn car flags. Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, up north, we just care about the Bears and the Patriots. Hey, briefly, real quick, that's a long one today. I'm okay with that. Can we talk about the debacle in Knoxville right now? So they offered Greg Schiano a job. Fans lost their mind because of his rumored involvement at Penn State. He was quickly removed from the job. They had to get security called out to their athletic department in Knoxville on the campus because of the protesting. So he had the job for about 4 or 5 hours. He said, yeah, no, maybe this ain't going to work so well. Why don't we just move on, Greg Schiano? The UTAD released a statement saying, we carefully interviewed and vetted him. He received the highest recommendations for character, family values, commitment to academic achievement from his current and former athletic directors, players, and coaching colleagues. Coach Schiano worked at Penn State from 90 to 95, and we carefully reviewed the 2012 investigation report by Lewis Free. Coach Schiano is not mentioned in the Free report and was not one of the more than 400 people interviewed in the investigation. We also confirmed that Coach Schiano was never deposed, there's your legalese, and he was never asked to testify in any criminal or civil matter. So the Twitter mob won this one. It's a very he said, she said. Our very own Mike Conti, who is a Penn State fan, has been pretty close to this whole situation at Penn State. He said that this is just a case of the Twitter mob, a rumor of hearsay. Well, you know, Schiano, somebody said they saw him, or he told them that he saw there was some, an activity in a shower, but he didn't do anything about it. Well, then you have the legalese coming out and saying, well, no, he didn't. We interview him. That was rumor of someone said that they heard that they said it. So it just depends on what you believe. But the scary part about this is this blew up in the age of Twitter. How quickly this blew up. Here's a question. Did anybody ask the players' opinions? Because the fans got their way. But what about the players? And Schiano was not a horrible coach at Rutgers. Well, you talk about a trend. Hey, I'm okay with this. I mean, I feel bad. No, I don't feel bad for anybody. The bleeding heart in me comes out and says, I feel kind of bad for the players. I mean, for the fans. I mean, what a mess right now. No, I don't. Why do I care? Good for you. Hope y'all suck for another 10 years. Out of all the SEC East teams, Tennessee is my least favorite because of bad experiences with the fans. All right, one more piece of good news before we hear from Kirby Smart. USA Today ranked the best college football towns in America. They use social media metrics on fan interaction to make this decision. Coming in at number one was Madison, home of the Wisconsin Badgers. Number two, best college football town in America, Athens, Georgia, home of the Dogs. Number three, Austin, Texas, home of the Longhorns. Number four, surprisingly, was LSU. I thought that might be higher. Number five was Ann Arbor, home of the Wolverines. Six, Alabama, seven, Auburn, eight, Miami, nine, South Bend. Notre Dame is. And number 10, Boise State. Okay. Big game this weekend. SEC Championship. You know how amazing it would be if 2 weeks in a row if somebody comes through with tickets? It ain't going to happen, but a boy can dream. Hey, join us Saturday morning. We will be live from 9 to 11 at McCray's in Midtown. A little pregame party. Hey, look, it only took all season, but I finally got one Georgia show this year. All right. Maybe I'll get another one this year. I don't know. I think we have our priorities wrong around here. Let's hear from Kirby Smart talking about the running attack with or without Kerryon Johnson.
Got to understand where a team's strengths and weaknesses are, and they've got a lot of strengths. They've got other backs that are good, probably not near as good as Kerryon, but they've got other backs that are quality backs, and they're SEC backs. They've also got ways to create running game that Gus has always done outside of Kerryon, and he does a good job of sharing those carries. They got a quarterback who, don't mistake him for a runner, because he can run the ball when you least expect it. They had several designed runs for him against Alabama. When you start running the quarterback, it creates a really tough dynamic. So they've got other ways to get carries. I fully expect him to play, and we'll have to deal with it either way.
I like how we are preparing for Kerryon Johnson. But, you know, I hope this injury keeps him out. You know, you probably need to rest, buddy. Listen, we don't need to further complicate that injury, maybe hurt your chances of making it in the NFL. So Kerryon's probably best you just – I mean, it's just a college game, Kerryon. Just relax. Kirby Smart, we talked about earlier, the loud environment this weekend at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, I actually thought that we handled that part pretty well from an offensive standpoint of functioning, snap count, timing, that kind of thing. The atmosphere in this weekend is going to be probably just as loud in a lot of ways, because you can make a case that, you know, we'll have more fans there, but it's, from what we've been told, an extremely loud place. So crowd noise will always be a factor when you play indoors. We'll prepare for that.
That's right. This will be Georgia's first appearance at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, because they kicked off last year against UNC. That was still the Georgia Dome. And I don't think we'll have more fans. I think it'll be – because outside of Georgia, the most alumni fan base in the city of Atlanta is Auburn. One more, Kirby talking about everything something we know. Everybody must play better this time against Auburn. Duh.
Everybody as a team has got to play better. We got to tackle better. We got to keep our edges better. And we got to be able to run the ball better on offense.
There you go. All right, let's call it a show. Thanks so much for checking out the 10-Minute Tailgate Tour. A good one this week. I'm not patting myself on the back, but we just rambled on. It feels good, man. It's confidence. And I got a little sad this week, college football. I mean, we have two, possibly three more games left. We win the SEC championship, go to a playoff game, and then go to a national title. Boom. That's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario, you lose SEC championship. You're still in a great bowl game. And the rumor is somebody said it might be a bowl game, Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. I'd be okay with that. Again, another opportunity to see Georgia play. Because one way or another, you could possibly see Georgia play again in Atlanta, be a national championship or the Peach Bowl. I'll take either one, but I'm leaning towards national championship. Just get through Saturday. Give me a follow on Twitter at Marko6262, M-A-R-K-O-6262, or at CFB929. Hey, thanks so much for listening. Hope you have a great week. Next week, outside of recapping the SEC championship, I got a little Vegas preview for you. Hope you have a great week. Go Dawgs.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.